Welcome to the Caltex Theater, a full hour of dramatic entertainment broadcast over a nationwide network of stations throughout Australia. The Caltex Theater is brought to you by Caltex Oil, marketers of over 1,000 outstanding petroleum products, in association with Caltex dealers and distributors everywhere. The Caltex Theatre presents The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, adapted from the delightful novel by R.A. Dick. This is the story of quiet little Lucy Muir, who decided upon her husband's death to rent a seaside cottage for herself and her children, and there build a new life. But she wasn't allowing for the cottages already being inhabited by the most rollicking, rakish ghost who ever set out to haunt a charming widow. Starring in The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, you will hear Patricia Kennedy and Robin Bailey. The Caltex Theater presents The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, Act One.
My dear madam, as the leading estate agent in Whitecliff, I feel it my duty to warn you once again.
So that this is Gull Cottage.
This house wouldn't suit you at all.
Oh, but I like it. I like it very much.
You can't possibly judge anything by the outside.
Then let us go inside, Mr. Coombe.
I think I should point out to you that for a single lady, it is very isolated.
But I'm not single. Surely you can see by my clothes.
You are, I imagine, but recently widowed, which means that you will be living alone, without a man's protection, Mrs.
Muir. Lucy Muir. And please don't talk to me about protection, Mr. Coombe. That's what I'm trying to escape.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Muir. I assure
you. It's true. Quite true. I married Edwin when I was 17. And for the last 16 years, my life has never been my life.
But, Mrs. Muir...
It was Edwin's life and his mother's life and his whole family's life. They chose my servants and my books and my pleasures. Yes, and my illnesses, too. Poor little Lucy. She looks pale. She must take cod liver oil. And because I hate loud noise and arguments and violence, I let them have their way. Even with my children.
Your children?
I have two, a boy and a girl. And because of them, I made up my mind this morning. As long as I remain in that house in Wichester, with my late husband's family forever on my doorstep, I shall continue to be little Lucy, poor little Mrs. Muir. What would you do in such circumstances, Mr. Coombe?
Well, Mrs. Muir, I don't quite know. You see, I...
You do exactly as I'm going to do. I'm leaving Wichester, selling that house. In future, I intend living my own life, where I want to, how I want to, and in the house I want to. Now, Mr. Coombe, are you going to take me inside Gull Cottage?
No, very well. I should never have mentioned this wretched place.
Let's go in. What a strange house. Quite built like a ship.
Quite so. Hardly the house for a lady.
The windows are just like portholes. Oh, that lovely stairway. And it's already furnished just how I like it. Who's that?
What? Who? Where?
That painting on the wall. There. That nautical-looking man with the telescope.
Oh, that is the late owner of the property, Captain Daniel Gregg.
Daniel Gregg, eh? It's not a very good painting, but the eyes are fine. So very blue.
Oh, what is it? What happened?
The painting. It winked at me.
Winked, did you say?
I'm beginning to think that there's something queer about this house.
Oh, well, in that case, there's no point in going upstairs. I knew it wouldn't suit you.
Oh, but it does suit me. It's exactly the house I want.
Uh-huh.
There's something funny going on, and I mean to find out what. Come along. Let's go upstairs.
Oh, Mrs. Muir. Mrs. Muir. This is the main bedroom. I really don't think...
Oh, what an amazing room. The windows open right over the sea.
It died in here.
And that big telescope in the window. I suppose Captain Gregg used to watch the ships go by through that telescope.
I do believe you've seen enough.
There's something queer about the telescope, though. Something out of place. Oh, why, of course. You're clean.
I should hope so, madam.
Oh, not you, Mr. Coombe. The telescope. The rest of the room's so dirty, but it's clean.
Oh,
what is it? Whatever is it?
Oh, this way, Mrs. Lewis. This way.
Hey, Mr. Coombe. Mr. Coombe. Mr. Coombe. Wait for me, Mr. Coombe. Stop. Stop, I say.
Oh, I knew it. I knew something like this would happen. I knew it.
So that's it. I thought as much. Gull Cottage is haunted.
I didn't want to show it to you. You insisted you had to see it.
Running away in that cowardly fashion, you should be ashamed.
Aren't you scared?
Of course I am. But you don't think I'm going to let the ghost know it, do you? Mr. Coombe, why does he haunt?
I beg your pardon?
Captain Gregg. Was he murdered?
No. He committed suicide.
Oh, poor man. Was he so unhappy?
Did that laugh sound particularly unhappy to you?
No, it didn't. But if he wasn't miserable, why did he put an end to his life?
I haven't the slightest idea. I should forget all about it if I were you. It's not your trouble.
But it is.
It is?
I love Gull Cottage, Mr. Coombe, and I want to live in it.
But surely after what we heard back there...
Mr. Coombe, couldn't you... Wouldn't you let me have Gull Cottage on approval for one night?
On approval? I never heard of such a thing.
Oh, I know it's most unusual, but it's not a very usual house, is it? Don't you see, I could sleep there for one night and find out if there really is anything that might frighten the children.
Sleep there? Oh, if you forgive my saying so, you're the most obstinate woman I ever met.
Then you let me do as I wish?
If you can get some reliable woman to spend the night with you, I might arrange it.
Good. I'll bring Martha, my cook. She was born in Pimlico and is frightened of nothing. We'll be arriving at Gull Cottage on Wednesday. And let your Captain Daniel Gregg do his worst. Window. I thought I shut this window before. I did shut it. I remember. Oh, who's there?
Ah, you wait, Mum.
Oh, Martha. Oh, dear old Martha.
Of course. Who else would it be, Mum? And whilst you was having 40 winks, I finished off our cleaning. Gull Cottage is now as clean and shipshape as it could be.
Shipshape? I never heard you use that word before.
Must be the ozone. Makes me go all nautical.
Thanks for bringing me down to earth, Martha. Of course, I've been asleep. I only dreamt I shut the window.
Window, ma'am? Oh, but you did shut it, ma'am.
I did?
And locked it secure. Don't you remember? The lock squeezed your finger and... Well, look, there's dried blood still on your nail.
Martha, I didn't. I couldn't have. You don't know what you're saying. He'd have had to walk in... Clear off the sea.
Walk in, ma'am.
I don't care. I want Gull Cottage and I'm going to have it. Do you hear me, Captain Gregg? Are you listening?
Ma'am, Mrs. Muir.
No, Martha, I mean to have this out.
Well, now, what ails you, ma'am? This Captain Gregg's been dead 10 years or more.
What? Oh. Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
No, you don't half look queer. Too much work cleaning Gull Cottage, that's what. I've been letting you overdo things. You only just widowed and all.
I'm all right, Martha, I'm all right.
Yes, Mum, and you'll be a lot more all right after I've taken you down to the kitchen and made you a cup of tea on that there Primus I bought.
Primus? But isn't the gas working yet?
No, it ain't. You know that Mr. Coombs said he couldn't understand it, cause he'd instructed the gas company to turn it on?
Yes.
Well, while he was asleep, I rang the gas company myself. They said their man had been here, fixed it, and tested it. And as far as they was concerned, there was no earthly reason why the gas shouldn't be coming through. But it ain't.
No earthly reason. Wonderful how good you feel after a good cup of tea.
Oh, fill the kettle for your hot water bottle, Mum. Oh, as soon as it's hot, I'll get upstairs to bed.
Go now, Martha. You're tired from cleaning house. I'll heat the water. Go along.
You know how to light the spirit stove, Mum?
Of course I do. Off with you.
Well, don't mind saying I am tired.
Good night, Martha. I shan't be long.
No, good night, Mum. Oh, the bottle of spirit's on the sink.
Yes, I see it, Martha. Oh, now we're out of fuel. Oh, dear. Martha! Oh, well, I'll try that gas again. Now, light. Light, will you? Oh, why won't you light? Why won't you? Why? Why won't you light?
Because I don't choose that it should...
Oh!
Now look at the mess you've made.
It's not true. This isn't happening. It's a trick.
So I'm a blasted conjurer, am I, madam?
It can't be. I'm alone here. There's no one else in the room.
Just because you can't see me doesn't prove I'm not here.
Well, what are you doing here? You're selfish and hateful and unreasonable, Captain Gregg.
I, madam?
If you wanted to live in this house, why didn't you live in it? Instead of killing yourself like a stupid great coward and ruining things for everyone?
I did not kill myself, blasted.
You didn't?
I went to sleep in front of that blasted gas fire in my bedroom, and I must have kicked the gas on with my foot.
Well?
It was a stormy night with the wind blowing half a gale from south-southwest right into my windows. So I shut the windows, as any sensible man would.
But
the darn fools came in the morning and found me dead and brought it in as suicide because my blasted charwoman gave evidence I always slept with my windows open. And how the devil should she know how I slept?
That proves it. I could never have thought of that last speech.
Of course you couldn't. You're a nice-minded woman. Too nice. Only half alive, as a matter of fact.
And far more alive than you are.
What you need, young woman, is a trip around the Horn with a southeaster tearing the guts out of you and all hands on deck with the sea coming over green for 3 nights and 3 days.
Why did you retire if you love the sea so much?
Hmm? I was getting old by human standards. So I went into dry dock of my own accord and through my telescope watched the ships of the world coming up the channel out there. Sailing to and from the seven seas. I'd show you if you were going to stay.
But I am going to stay.
No one stays in my house.
But it isn't your house, Captain Gregg. It belongs to someone in South America.
And that's another thing. Letting that confounded little runt have my house and money just because he's my next of kin. Damn it, I was going to make a will leaving Gull Cottage as a rest home for old sea captains.
Well, it's too late now.
I don't want anyone living in my house but sailors.
But I want to live in it. It's the right position for the children.
You are not going to live in it, madam. I'll not have my good bedroom turned into a scented boudoir filled with frippery and folderols.
You're mean. Mean and dog in the mangerish and horrible. You're...
Oh. Don't cry. Blast it, madam. Don't cry, I say. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's a woman bawling. Do what you like. Only stop that confounded sniveling.
If I promise not to turn your bedroom into a scented boudoir, couldn't we come on trial for 6 months?
One settled in this house for 6 days and I'd never get you out. Hmm? However, bring your two brats if you like and we'll try it for the summer.
And you'll go right away and leave us alone?
No, I will not go right away, madam. Why should I?
Well, I couldn't possibly bring the children if you stayed. Well, quite apart from the fear they might feel from being haunted, think of the bad language they'd learn and the bad morals.
Damn it, my language is most controlled, madam. As for my morals, no woman has ever been the worse for knowing me, and I'd like to know how many mealy-mouthed charm singers can say the same.
I shall not listen to you any longer. If you'll excuse me, I'll heat the water for my bottle and then go to bed. Thank you, Captain Gregg, for allowing the gas to light. If you don't mind, I shall just sit quietly until the water boils.
I like a woman who can sit still. If I'd ever met a woman who could hold her tongue and not fidget, I might have married.
Indeed.
I've hit on the solution. I like you, and you're quite right. This house would be better for being lived in, so you shall come and live in it. And if you'll promise to leave my bedroom as it is, I'll promise never to go in any other room in the house, so your children need never know anything about me. That's your problem solved. Now, for mine, you will buy the house.
But I haven't the money.
I have some gold hidden in the premises that no one knows about. You'll take that, and you'll buy the house from my blasted next of kin. And you'll make a will leaving it as a home for sea captains.
That's quite impossible. In the first place, it would be stealing if I took the money. And in the second place, if you're keeping the best bedroom in the house, where would I sleep?
In the best bedroom.
But Captain Gregg!
In heaven's name, why not? I haven't got a body. Bless my soul, madam. Surely you've read the scriptures. In heaven, there is neither marrying nor the giving in marriage.
The trouble is that you're not in heaven.
Confound it. You'll have to take my word for it that I wouldn't dream of hurting a hair of your head nor of blotting a word of your reputation. So, that's all settled. And you're to fetch the children tomorrow. Good night.
Well, it isn't settled. Wait. Wait, Captain Gregg. Captain Gregg! Oh, blast! Oh, Lucy Muir, I ask you, where is this to end? How much longer do I have to put up with this, Captain Gregg? Oh, sometimes I wish I'd taken Mr. Coombe's advice and never come near this place. You've cleared everything up. I've made the will leaving the house to your old sea captains.
You're too young.
Oh, nonsense. I'm 34.
In years, perhaps. In experience, you're about 17. And you look it, too, when you're playing with Anna or that ridiculous dog Tags you brought with you. Suppose you were to marry again.
What? Marry? Oh, I wouldn't think of marrying again.
Someone might think of marrying you, though. You're really very pretty. And extremely susceptible.
I am not.
What do you bet?
I don't bet.
Well, I do. My greatest weakness was a good gamble, and I'll bet my interest in this house you'd fall for the first attractive man who admired you.
You don't sound in the least unearthly. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, as if I couldn't be trusted completely. Oh, now you're being positively childish. I refuse to listen for another second. I shall go for a walk with my ridiculous dog. Tags! Tags! I can't run as fast as you on these cliffs. Tags! He's been buried under that landslide. I'll get you out, Tags. I can't shift it. Tags! Oh, Tags! Help! Help! What's the use? No one for miles. Where are you, doggy? Oh, Tags, I'm trying. I can't shift it. I can't.
Yeah, let me do it.
Oh, thank you. I didn't hope anyone might be about. It's so lonely here.
Nearly got him. Yes, there we are.
Oh, Oh, I don't know how to thank you.
Easy does it. There you are, old chap.
Tex.
And none the worse for it, are we, old man? But how about you?
I'm all right now. It was horrible being so helpless, stupidly helpless.
It was a man's job. And I'm very glad I was near enough to be the man. I say, you sure there's nothing wrong?
No, I'm quite all right, thanks. I feel 100%.
Well, you certainly look 100%.
Thank you for helping me. Now, Tags and I must go back. We've had quite enough rabbiting for one day.
Going to be quite a shower. You'd better come along to the cottage and shelter till it's over.
No, thank you.
Afraid.
You'll be soaked to the skin.
Afraid.
Please come. You're pretty wet already.
I'm not.
Oh, but you are. I'm going to insist you come with me. Let's run for it. It's only down that slope amongst that clump of trees.
I should be going home, you know.
All in good time. Let's get dry first. Here we are. It's a bit primitive, I'm afraid, but I come here for privacy.
It seems very peaceful.
Most women would say it's lonely.
I love loneliness.
Have you ever tried it?
I'm alone all day while the children are at school.
Have you children?
A boy and a girl. I'm a widow.
You look too young to be a widow.
Oh, but there are many widows much younger than I am.
But not many as pretty, I'll bet. You're very sweet.
I don't think you should say things like that. I don't even know your name.
My name is Miles Fairley Blaine. And you are very sweet.
I really ought to go.
Oh, please. I've never met anyone quite like you before.
The rain, it's stopping.
Oh, no, it isn't. And you needn't be afraid of me.
I'm not afraid of you.
Then prove it by sitting down. No. Over here. With me. That's better.
Well, I really can stay only for a little while.
I meant what I said just now. I never have met anyone quite like you. You make me think of the spring and primroses. A new beginning to life.
These weeks we've known each other have been heaven. I've never felt like this before.
Well, I can't bear to be parted from you. I love you.
If only we could be together always. Oh, someone is there in the wood. Someone is watching us.
There's no one there. Just rabbits.
Oh, I must go home. It's late. You'll be here tomorrow.
Yes, I'll be here. Oh, heaven knows why. You're so hard-hearted.
Hard-hearted? If you could just see my heart.
What should I see?
Perhaps I shall show you tomorrow.
Wake up. I must speak to you.
Captain Craig. Oh, do go away, please.
You little coward. For weeks you've kept your daughter by your side whenever you've been in the house, even had her sleep with you, just to stop me talking to you. Well, now I've got to.
All right, say it. There's no fool like an old fool. I admit everything. I'm ridiculous, susceptible, and happier than I've ever been in my life.
Oh, Lucia, dear. It was all my fault. blind fool that I am, but there he was, and he seemed ideal for my purpose.
Are you angry, Captain, because your little joke misfired?
Oh, I never realized just how young in your emotions you could be, Lucia, and I felt you needed a lesson, and by heaven, you've got your lesson, all right.
What do you mean?
My dear, the man is married.
Married? Miles?
Married with 3 young children.
I don't believe it.
It's true for all that.
I don't believe it. Miles couldn't be bad. Yeah. I won't listen to another word. I'm going to him. I'm going to him now.
Now you can't. You must.
I can't help it. I must see him now.
Lucia, I forbid it. You don't know.
I must see him. I must.
Yes, Lucia. Go to him now. Go to the cottage now. Now.
I've lived all my life without love. Too much to ask that I should lose it now. I love him so much. Oh, thank heavens. Thank heavens he's home. There's a light in the cottage. I'll go quietly and give him a surprise. Dear Miles. Miles. I'm going in.
Lucy.
Yes, Miles. Lucy.
My dear, I had no idea you were coming. My cousin has driven down to visit me from London.
Cousin Miles? Cousin? Oh, why not sister? So much less suspicious. And, we both have red hair.
I said cousin, Marion.
And your wife doesn't have red hair, does she, Miles?
My wife? But I never told you...
You never told me anything, Miles, but lies.
I can explain, Lucy. Don't desert me, darling.
I have deserted you. Goodbye, Miles.
But Lucy...
Goodbye!
Can you forgive me?
Go away. There's nothing to forgive.
It was my own damned pride. I thought you needed a lesson, and it was I who should be taught. Interfering in other people's lives unasked is one of the greatest sins, and I knew it.
My life is over.
I'm a poor representative of either world. I must go away until I've learned greater wisdom.
Over. Quite over.
I'm going away from you, Lucia. For many years, as you count time in this dimension.
Miles. Miles.
At least I can bring you forgetful sleep. Goodbye, Lucia. Oh, Lucia, you're so little. Oh, I should have liked to take you to Norway and shown you the fjords in the midnight sun. And to China and the wild, unknown, undreamt of island of the sea. What you've missed, Lucia, by being born too late to travel the 7 seas with me. And what I've missed... Goodbye, my darling. Goodbye.
The Caltex Theater presents The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, adapted from the delightful novel by R.A. Dick. The Caltech Theater now presents Patricia Kennedy and Robin Bailey in The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, Act Two.
You can't sleep on my bed, Miss Ming. Get down into your basket. Oh, very well. You can sleep on the eiderdown. I'm too tired to argue. Settle down, Miss Ming. There's a good girl. Do go to sleep.
Take that damn dog off the bed. Off my bed.
Daniel!
God bless my soul, it'll be between the sheets.
Captain Gregg, you've come back. After all these years and years, you've come back.
Quite time, too. It's not healthy to have a flea-ridden dog sleeping in your bed. In my bed.
She's no more flea-ridden than Tags used to be years ago. You like Tags.
Shiver me timbers, talk sense, woman.
You don't seem to have changed. I thought you'd come back full of noble talk and wise sayings.
Oh, so you were sure I would come back?
Oh, I was too busy to think of you at all, really.
In that case, I can take myself off again.
Oh, no, please. I'm in terrible trouble.
Yes, I know.
Cyril and Anna, they've grown up now, you know.
Yes, I heard you all talking tonight. Never fret, my dear. They'll have to compromise, that's all. But not that I intend to interfere in other people's lives, mind you. That's one lesson I have learned.
Please, Daniel. Cyril wants to marry the bishop's daughter, and Anna... What am I to do about Anna?
Well, if I hadn't said I would never interfere again, I would suggest that they compromise.
In what way?
Each must give in a little. If Anna wants to become a dancer, she must change her name. They can go their different ways, and their lives need never cross.
But isn't that rather sad? A complete break between brother and sister?
Seems to me that would come in any case, and if the church is right for Cyril and the stage for Anna, it'll work out for the best.
I'll sleep on it. I don't want to interfere in my children's lives any more than you do, but I want them to be happy. Must growing up always mean a breaking up?
No, but it often means a breaking away. And you wouldn't want them to stay anchored for the rest of their existence, growing barnacles all over them and rotting away with rust?
No, no. I'll tell them in the morning. Daniel.
Hmm?
I'm so very glad you've come back, Daniel. And that way, your different lives may never cross. Now, what do you think of that for a solution?
It's a marvelous idea, Mummy.
I agree with Anna, and I suggest she should live with our old servant Martha, so you can still be here to look after me when I'm on holidays from the Theological College. And there's no reason the bishop will ever know my sister is a dancer on the stage, if she's willing to change her name.
Everything's happening so quickly. My mind's in a whirl. My children breaking away from home. Suddenly like this.
Oh, darling, I'm so sorry. We haven't thought of you at all, have we?
I wouldn't want you to stay anchored, growing barnacles and rotting away with rust.
Bubba! All the things you say.
So here I am, alone at last, Daniel. With only the roof over my head. And according to you, I shan't have even that soon.
We must chart our course, Lucia. We must chart our course.
Well, what can you suggest? I can't paint pictures or write books. I seem to be quite useless.
Write books.
I've just told you that I can't.
No, but I can. I can write a book, bless my soul. I can write a bestseller of a book, and you shall put it down. Get a typewriter and some foolscap tomorrow.
But what would the book be about?
Me! It'll be the story of my life, and I shall call it, Blood and Swash.
I don't think that's at all a knight's tongue,
Flew. It's not meant to be. It's arresting. Get a pad and some paper. We'll start right away.
But
you're in a tight place, Lucia. Get your writing things.
Oh, how you do order me about so.
Now, let me see.
I'll do it in longhand first and then type it afterwards. I'm not very good.
Don't care how you do it, as long as you get it done. Now, you ready?
Aye, aye, Captain. Full speed ahead.
Blood and Swash. A story of the sea and the men who are at once its masters and its slaves. When I first thought, and so the sun set on the port behind us, and once again, adventure beckoned. Have you got all that?
No, and some of them I never will. That'll never get printed anyway. And I can't put down things like that.
Like what, for instance?
I will not write this Marseille bit. We'll leave that out.
We will not.
I will.
Then I won't go on. This is my story, and I'll damn well have it my way. My book is going to be a true record, and it'll show the black side as well as the white.
I see no need for it.
Well, I do. Now, for heaven's sake, get on with it, Lucia, and stop havering. Where was I? Yes. Marseille is different to any...
from.
To or from? What in heaven's name does it matter? Change the grammar all you blasted well like, so long as you leave the guts under it.
Oh, very well.
Are you tired? I suppose I've been driving you pretty hard these last few weeks.
No, I'm not tired, thank you.
Then what the devil are you looking so pensive about?
I was just thinking about you when you were small. You must have been like a whirlwind coming into your aunt's house.
Oh, just like a woman, sentimental.
Spoiling her house and filling it with mongrel puppies and half-grown kittens. But she must have been fond of you, leaving you all her money to buy a ship of your own.
Damn it, that's four chapters back. Get on.
I wonder what you were like.
Oh, woman, what do you think I was like?
I think you must have been a bad little boy. And that your aunt must have felt very lonely with her clean carpets.
Oh, well, thank you, my dear. Thank you. Damn it, woman, let's get on with it. We've got to get this damn book finished.
On behalf of the publishing house of Tackett and Sproul, that's me, of course, Tackett died years ago, I drink to Blood and Swash.
Then... you like it, Mr. Sproul?
Oh, my dear madam, it's a most remarkable book. At first I thought you were being temperamental and that you really had written it yourself. But now I've read it all. Of course you couldn't. It's a man's book. Oh, and gad, what a man. Drink up, Mrs. Muir.
Oh, yes. Your health, Mr. Sproul.
Well, where is he now? I want to meet him.
I'm sorry you can't meet him.
Oh, nonsense, dear lady. I must meet him, a man after my own heart.
Oh, I'm sorry you can't meet him. He's not there to be met.
I see. Well, I didn't notice you were wearing black. You have my deepest sympathy. I quite understand.
But you don't understand. I'm afraid I can't explain.
Oh, indeed. Well, then, of course, I must not ask anything further about this mysterious author.
I'm afraid not, Mr. Sproul. No more questions at all.
Well, now, in the event of our deciding to publish, with whom shall I communicate?
Oh, dear me. Must you communicate?
Well, it'll be a little difficult to make out checks. Always supposing there were any checks to Mrs. X.
Well, couldn't you pay me in notes?
Oh, it had been very difficult and most unsatisfactory. Come, dear lady, your secret will be perfectly safe in my hands.
Secret? Secret? I'll think it over. I'll come back and let you know. Goodbye, Mr. Sproul. But Daniel, he said secret. How could he know I had a secret?
Oh, Lucia, you really are very young for all your years and very innocent.
What do you mean?
Well, my dear, he obviously thought I was human.
And your lover.
What? Oh, he can't afford such a thing. Oh, I'll never go back there again. And stop laughing. It's disgusting. An old woman like me.
Old woman be damned. You're not 50 yet, and that's the age most actresses start playing Juliet.
I am not an actress.
No, but you're a confoundedly attractive woman, and I'm not in the least surprised at Mr. Sproul's thoughts.
I'll never speak to him again.
Oh, yes, you will, because if you don't, I'll visit him myself, and then the fat will be in the fire.
Perhaps he won't publish your old book anyway.
He'll publish it all right, and it'll be a bestseller, you mark my words.
And finally, on behalf of my dear bride-to-be Celia and myself, I should particularly at this wedding eve party like to pay tribute to my dear mother.
Thank you, Cyril.
And His Grace the Bishop. Just think, sir, this time tomorrow I shall be calling you Dad.
Well said, my dear Cyril, well said. I say, Cousin George, I trust you are looking after our little Mrs. Muir.
Oh, rather, rather.
Very well, thank you, Bishop.
I was telling Mrs. Muir some of our South African customs.
A most fascinating place, South Africa, if a little remote from the center of things.
You malign us, Herbert. We're very up-to-date there. Why, bless me, we're even up-to-date on the burning question of the day.
And what is that, Uncle George?
Why, my dear Celia, who wrote Blood and Swash?
Blood and Squash.
Terrible book.
Pagan, I should call it.
You're right, Cyril, dear. It's definitely pagan.
And the chapter on Marseille is quite shocking.
Quite.
I've written to the papers suggesting it be withdrawn from publication.
A sure way to increase its sales. Though I hardly think that's necessary. It's in its fifth edition already, and it hasn't been out long.
Well, I burned the book.
I scarcely glanced beyond the first page.
One of us at least would appear never to have opened the book. I refer to Mrs. Muir, who has ventured no criticism.
Oh, Mother never reads anything but Mrs. Beaton's cookbook and Home Chat.
Well, I must say I'd like to meet the author of Blood and Swash. I suppose his publisher knows who he is.
As a matter of fact, a friend of mine has it on the best authority that the author is a cripple in Soho who has never been to sea in his life.
Oh!
What's happened? An earthquake?
Oh, dear.
What's this? Little Mrs. Muir is fainting.
Lie down and sleep. We'll come back soon and make sure that you do.
Thank you, Celia.
Yes, yes, very soon, Mother.
I shall be all right, dear. It was foolish.
I don't wonder you fainted. I can't imagine what happened.
We'll be back very soon.
Thank you, dear. Captain Gregg. Daniel. Don't pretend I know you're here.
Yes, I'm here.
How dared you tip over that table? How dared you?
Well, if you'd seen them all battening on the Marseille chapter in the privacy of their own rooms. Oh, but the bishop, who at least is an honest man.
Daniel.
I've been called many things in my time, but never an earthquake. I haven't had such a good laugh in years.
You talk about me being in the kindergarten. I should say you weren't past the creche.
I know. I'm bad, and I don't seem to get any better, and I'm sorry to put you to all the trouble of pretending to faint.
I had to do something to get by myself and talk to you.
Well?
I shall leave the income and Gull Cottage to decayed gentlewomen if you don't go away and promise not to come back here.
Oh, help us, I believe you would, too. All right. I'll go. I'll go.
Thank you. Make myself look presentable. Just a moment. Oh, Bishop, do come in.
Ah, my dear Mrs. Muir, I trust your slight indisposition has passed?
Yes, yes, quite. Thank you, Bishop.
My daughter Celia and your son Cyril have asked me to persuade you to give up your lonely house and live with them.
Give up Gull Cottage? Why, well, it's very kind of them, but I should hate to be a burden.
But you would not be a burden, Mrs. Muir. Far less, in fact, than if you were living in that lonely house with your weak heart.
My heart is perfectly strong. Thank you.
And indeed, far from being a burden, you might be of great assistance to the young couple.
My own experience when young taught me that couples should live alone, not with in-laws.
Oh, don't come to any hurried decision, Mrs. Muir. Go away and think it over.
Oh, I will, I will. I will think it over very carefully. And I would like to tell you...
Yes, Mrs. Muir?
I'd like to tell you how much I appreciate what you've said and how glad I am to know you better. It will be a lovely wedding. A happy wedding.
Sell Gull Cottage and go and live with Cyril? The idea's preposterous. Sell this house, indeed?
Celia's very determined.
Exactly, my dear. She'd drive you to drink. But here, my dear, you better take off that old dressing gown and put on the new one Anna gave you for Christmas.
But why? I love this old thing.
That car you can hear, it's Anna.
Anna? But it can't be. This is a weekday.
It's no use looking out of the window. They're parked underneath.
Come back at 12, darling, and take us to lunch.
Darling? Who is darling, do you suppose?
That would be Telly.
Mummy? Mummy, where are you?
Upstairs, darling. You were right about the dressing gown, Daniel. I must put it on. Now, not a word out of you, Daniel.
Lucia, have I ever broken my word to you about this room in all the years we've shared this house?
No, you haven't. Forgive me, Daniel.
Mummy, are you all right?
Hello, Anna, darling.
You look pale, Mummy.
Pale? Of course I'm all right.
Cyril told me about your fainting at the bishop. He said your father died of angina and frightened me to death about you. And what's all this about Cyril's wanting you to go and live with them?
He told you about it.
Mummy, you can't live with them. I should never be able to go and stay with you. And besides, if you live with anyone, you live with Bill and me.
Bill?
Well, his real name is Evelyn Anthony Peregrine Scaife. So, of course, he's called Bill. And the ghastly thing is, he's a baronet.
Ghastly? Why ghastly?
Well, I don't want to be a lady. Oh, Mummy, isn't life odd? I sort of feel I'm a failure. Do you understand?
Yes, darling, I think so. You're going to marry Bill, who is a baronet, and settle down. And you feel it's rather a tame ending to your career.
I knew you'd understand. I love the theater and music and parties and riding and sailing. But most of all, I love Bill.
Then you will never be lonely.
And you'll never be lonely either. You shall come and live with us.
No, darling, neither with you nor with Cyril. I have my own house and I mean to live in it.
With Captain Gregg?
What did you say?
Oh, I know all about him, Mummy.
You know?
I fell in love with his picture when I was 11, and I used to pretend he came and talked to me.
Pretend?
Somehow or other, I always felt he was in the house.
Did you ever hear Captain Gregg's voice?
Oh, good Lord, no. But I felt he was my friend, and a wise one.
Oh.
And I'll tell you something else I've never told a soul, not even Bill.
Yes, darling.
I nearly got myself involved with a very odd set of people when I first went to London, and only Captain Gregg held me back.
Held you?
Well, I mean, the thought of how he would have despised them.
Oh.
That may sound crazy to you, darling, but I do feel he left a very definite atmosphere in this house. I should hate anyone else to live in it.
Yes.
Oh, that's Bill coming back. Oh, do come and meet him, Mummy.
Yes. Yes. But wait till I change, dear.
Do hurry. I've simply bored him to tears about you.
Yes, I'll hurry. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you with all my heart.
So, they've gone.
Oh. You startled me, Daniel. But I can't be angry with you. Daniel, you never told me how Anna felt about you. Did you know?
I knew, but I don't tell you everything, Lucia. It wouldn't be fair.
You should have told me, Daniel.
Well, she's all right now. Bill's a damn nice fellow, and she's very lucky.
He's lucky, too.
Yes, that'll be one of the real marriages.
They laugh in the same language, and that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Anna insists the only way she'll let me stay on here alone is if I get old Martha to come and help me. You don't mind, Daniel. I mean, us not being alone.
I shan't be angry with Martha, my dear. She loves you and will care for you.
That makes her a good shipmate for Captain Gregg.
Daniel, I feel old. So very old.
No, wait till they make you a grandmother, my dear. You've a long way to go yet.
Daniel, I should love to tell Anna about you.
Hmm? Well, please yourself. But if you do, you'll soon be headline news.
But Anna can keep a secret. She's proved it.
She'd need to take a Trappist's vows to prevent herself from giving this one away. No, my dear, if you're wise, you'll keep it to yourself. As long as you live.
As long as I live. Yes, Daniel. I believe you're right.
Your rheumatics are bad. Why don't you go and see a doctor? You've plenty of money. You can well afford it.
I don't want to end in the poorhouse.
Poorhouse be damned. Don't you know you're a very wealthy old woman?
Pah!
That pah to you too, my dear. Old Sproul's grandson's just put out a new illustrated deluxe umpty-umpth edition of Blood and Swash that'll give you enough to buy your own poorhouse on its own. Go to Harrogate, woman. Go to Harrogate.
I'm too old to be gadding about in strange hotels. I'll not go.
You're a pig-headed, obstinate old woman. If I didn't think you quite capable of leaving my house as an annex to the Battersea Dogs Home, I'm damned if I'd come and visit you anymore.
Now, I never thought of that. What a good idea.
Oh, you women. I'm off.
Oh, I don't feel well. Pains.
Gia, why the devil don't...
Daniel Gregg, I thought you'd gone.
You're tired, my dear. Never mind. You'll feel better soon.
Of course I'll feel better. I'd feel better now if you'd go away and let me rest.
Rest, Lucia. I'll go away.
Here you are, ma'am. Brought you a nice glass of hot milk.
I don't want anything, Martha.
You better have a drop of something, ma'am.
Here, it's nice hot milk. I hate hot milk.
Now,
just take a sip. Look, there's scum on the top.
Scum? Oh, there's never...
Scum, scum, scum. Take it away. Go away, you bad woman.
Now, don't get in a state, ma'am.
I'm not in a state. I just want to be left alone. Go away when I tell you. Bossing me, everyone bossing me.
Oh, very well, ma'am. Though bossing I never intended. I only brought the milk for your own good.
Call her back.
What?
Call Martha back at once, Lucia.
No, she's an interfering old thing.
Call her back. You can't leave her like that.
Leave her?
Weren't you taught as a child never to let the sun go down on your wrath in case there should be no dawning? Call her, I say!
Everyone bossing me. Well, very well, you great bully. Martha. Martha.
I could have sworn I heard thunder in here. Funny.
Martha, I'm sorry I was cross.
Oh, there, love.
I didn't mean to be cross.
Oh, of course not, ma'am. Here, take a drink of your good hot milk to please old Martha.
Thank you, Martha. You're very good to me. I'm a nasty, cross old woman. And thank you for looking after me so well.
Now, don't you start that thank you in, for abide it I cannot. Have a little sleep, ma'am, and pleasant dreams.
I'll finish my milk first.
Do that, ma'am.
Good night, Martha. God bless you.
God bless you, ma'am.
I was cross. Yes. I admit it, Daniel. But I'm so tired. So...
Ah.
now you will never be tired again. Come, Lucia. Come, my dear.
Why, Daniel. Daniel. At last I can see you. My dear. Why, you're handsome.
Come to me. Get up from the chair and come.
Daniel. Yes, of course I'll come. But who is that? Back there in the chair. That little old woman.
Look again, Lucia.
She's wearing my rings on her fingers. And my necklace. That isn't me.
It was you, Lucia.
But I don't feel like that. So little and worn and frail.
It was only your earthly covering. And you've sloughed it as a snake sloughs the old skin for which it has no more use. Ah, Lucia. Now we are together. As we were meant to be.
I feel so strange. And so happy. At last. My love.
So ends our Caltex play, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. In a moment, we will give you tonight's cast and tell you about next week's presentation in the Caltex Theater. The Ghost and Mrs. Muir was written by R.A. Dick and adapted for radio by Bruce Stewart. In the starring roles, you heard as Lucy Muir, Patricia Kennedy. And in the role of the Ghost, Captain Daniel Gregg, Robin Bailey. The supporting cast was as follows. Martha, Moira Carlton. Miles, the Bishop, John Morgan. Coombe and Uncle George, Williams Lloyd. Sproul, Sidney Connerbeer. Cyril, Noel Ferrier. Anna, Bernadette Russell. Celia, Margaret Gamble. Next week in the Caltex Theater, you will hear an adaptation of the hard-hitting Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer motion picture, Slander, a story of the unscrupulous ethics of a power-hungry publisher and the stand made against him by a man whose whole future was jeopardized by the policy of the publisher's keyhole-peeping magazine. Be listening for Slander next week. And remember, too, Villa, Sleep 4, and Misfire, further outstanding presentations shortly to be heard in the Caltex Theater. Now, this is your compere, Rick Hutton, bidding you good night on behalf of your hosts, Caltex Oil, marketers of Caltex Super Gasoline and Caltex Gasoline, the world-famous RPM 1030 Special Motor Oil, and Marfac Lubrication.